Greetings, friend, and welcome to the Between the Covers podcast, where we are working every day to remove the self-limiting beliefs that are preventing us from becoming the heroes of our own stories. I am Marcus Spar, and it's time for this month's hero study. And I will admit, this is one that I'm not entirely certain I can do it justice. Only because my research has been not providing the information that I would hope to find about these different heroes in fantasy, sci-fi, and in real life. Today we are going to be talking about Ellen Ripley, and I've not seen any of these movies, and I don't intend on seeing any of these movies. I understand that they are classics. They are some of the best examples of sci-fi horror out there, and the character of Ellen Ripley is such a magnanimous protagonist that it, to a certain degree, it almost feels disingenuous to not see these movies. Yet I am just not a horror fan. I do not enjoy these kinds of movies. If I were to watch it as a part of research, I would likely have nightmares for at least a month. And so I am going off of what I can find about this character. And this is coming from other individuals' takes on her. And it's very difficult to find information that isn't talking about how she is this perfect personification of the feminist icon, and that's not exactly what I'm going for here. When I do these kind of episodes, what I hope to do is I hope to just look at the merits of the character, not necessarily what they contribute to modern society. And with the... Oh, there's Odin. For those of you who are watching, for those of you who are listening to this, then you missed out on the cameo of my dog Odin. Those of you guys on YouTube could see him jump up on the love seat behind me. If you guys are interested in seeing my beloved dog, I would encourage you guys to find this episode on YouTube. And you can see him jump up very early on. All that aside, when I do this kind of episode, I want to focus just on the merits of the character, not necessarily how they are bucking any kind of societal trends or the kind of messages that they are delivering to a modern audience with the political atmosphere that we have. I want to just focus on the merits of the character, what makes them heroic. And when all of the information, well, not all, most of the information I find focuses on how Ellen Ripley is pushing this envelope of the feminist agenda, it makes it difficult for me to find the information I'm looking for. Now, before any feminists out there are stopping the podcast and saying, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, he's anti-feminist, that's not at all what I'm saying. What I am saying is, it's been difficult for me to find the information I'm looking for just from the perspective of, what does this character do that is heroic, and what can we learn from it? With that, let's just go ahead and dive on in. And this episode is going to be whatever it's going to be. I've been getting mixed information as I have looked this up online, where people have been saying that the character of Ripley was originally supposed to be a male protagonist, and yet I'm also seeing that the first draft of it was every single character was unisex, and it was essentially up to the individuals in charge of casting for the film to determine the gender of each individual character. So I'm not entirely certain whether Ripley was meant to be Ellen Ripley or, I don't know, Alan Ripley, depending on who was cast or who was originally written into the script. However, Ellen Ripley is, for those who aren't familiar, like myself, who had to look this kind of stuff up, she is the warrant officer of a mining ship that was on its way back to Earth. They were wanting to get back in order to get paid for the work that they've been doing. And this is an individual who is scientifically inclined, someone who is incredibly intelligent, and throughout the entire, at least first movie, was one of those who was at the discussion table for all of the big decisions that they were going to make. Without seeing the movie myself, some of the resources that I found were saying that she was effectively the second in command on this ship, on this freighter, star freighter, whatever they wanted to call it. So she was a smart and also commanding presence on the ship. And they are redirected from their original course back home in order to respond to a distress signal. They were told it was a distress signal. Turns out it wasn't. It wasn't an SOS. It was a more of a stay away kind of message. And there was an individual of the crew that becomes implanted with a xenomorph. She was wanting to stick with protocol. Ellen Ripley was wanting to stick with the protocol, quarantine him. And there were those on the ship, mainly an android that was a little more nefarious, who said, no, we don't need to worry about that. And this turns into the unleashing of a xenomorph on their spaceship. The person who was carrying the xenomorph is killed in this process, and now they have this alien that has run loose, and this thing matures quickly from what I'm seeing here in the span of the last half of the movie. At least it goes from a baby to a full-grown adult, and I don't know the timeline that this takes place, but I'm guessing it's pretty quick that this force of nature is maturing and becoming a tormentor to the crew. And once this thing starts doing its own survival instinct, this is where everything starts going terribly wrong. In the first movie, everyone is removed by the alien, by the xenomorph, except for Ripley. And supposedly she is able to destroy the xenomorph. Through this entire process, though, what we witness is an individual who is very, very clear-headed. She is intelligent. She is looking out for the safety of the rest of the crew. And that drives her decisions. That drives the words that she says. For an individual who was not taught a whole lot about military command or how to use a weapon, she is willing to stand up to those who are indecisive about what to do. In the end, all of the decisions that she is making is to bring about the survival of herself and those who are with her. And that's something that is honorable, to say the least. When you get into the second movie, she's not believed when she tells them about this threat of this alien, of the xenomorphs. She joins a group of Marines that are going to find some colony on a moon somewhere that had gone silent, I believe. And they discover this place has been effectively overrun by xenomorphs. This is where a lot of the research that I was doing, the sources that I was looking up, they focused a lot on the first and the second movie. There is this channel called Clear Critique that does an incredible job at explaining what makes Ellen Ripley an incredible protagonist in a 6-minute video focusing on one part. And that is, in the second movie, she becomes the surrogate mother of an orphan from the colony named Newt. Newt is taken by one of the xenomorphs when they were working to get off of the ship, off of the colony, wherever they were. I think they were on a ship. They were trying to get off the ship and get to safety, and Newt is captured. And now, abandoning the ship is not her top priority. It's rescuing this kid. And they show this scene of her riding an elevator, going down like 20 floors or something like that. 20 floors seems like a lot for a ship. Maybe they were still on the colony. Again, forgive me, I haven't seen the movie, so I'm just trying to piece together what I've learned. And while she is riding this elevator down, she is preparing to fight whatever she's going to find down there. And this place has a lot of xenomorphs, and she's going all by herself. Some people would say that's foolhardy, yet what we witness with Ellen Ripley as a character is she is alone in this elevator. She is getting all of her weapons primed in order to be prepared for whatever is going to be at the bottom of this elevator shaft. And she is nervous. You can tell she is nervous. She is handling weapons that are really heavy. And she removes her jacket, and you can just see sweat stained all along her shirt. You can just see sweat all over. She's having these nervous tics about herself. She's like quickly running her hands through her hair. She's kind of looking around everywhere. She's anxiously looking at the countdown as the elevator continues to go down in levels. And you can visibly see the anxiety that she is experiencing. Once she has her weapons ready and she's going down the last several floors, what you experience is her just closing her eyes, taking a deep breath, and then when she opens her eyes and she looks down, she has this look of determination on her face. She is still nervous. You can tell that she is still anxious. She is afraid. And yet she is not running away from whatever is the source of the fear. In this case, it happens to be these aliens. One of the things that I found over and over representing the personality and just the heroic nature of Ellen Ripley is how she is afraid, and yet she fights all the same. In many of the sources that I was reading through, they were saying that she was a far cry from what was the stereotypical feminine role in these kind of movies. They were typically portrayed as the damsels in distress. And there was one in particular that got me to smile when I think about it, that since her character, supposedly, this was one of those where they were focusing more on the part of the script where supposedly the characters were written all as unisex, that she was running from whatever was the source of the danger, and she wasn't screaming like a typical damsel in distress. She was noticeably swearing, which is justifiable for most of us. I don't know of many people who, if they're being chased by a voracious killer like the Xenomorphs in the Alien franchise, who wouldn't be swearing as they're trying to run away from this thing. There were some other sources that were pointing out how she was an every woman. She was not a chosen one. She didn't have anything really special about her. No special powers, no special training, nothing like that. She wasn't the one, like the Matrix. She was a member of the crew. She definitely had her smarts. She had incredible intelligence. She was persistent. She was courageous. She was determined. She would stand up in the face of danger. And at the same time, this is something that any of us can portray. That is, these are traits that any of us can carry. We are not talking about someone, I'm going to really nerd out here. We're not talking about someone like Goku from the Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z, or even, I guess, Dragon Ball GT. I'm so out of the loop on the anime that he's from. Who is unnaturally powerful and continues to be the strongest fighter almost regardless of what's happening. We are not seeing someone who is like Neo from The Matrix, who is the one. He is destined to be the person who is going to overthrow the machine, to destroy the Matrix. We are not talking about an individual like Gandalf or Aragorn, who one has incredible magical power, the other has the lifespan of the Dunedain, where they live longer than most other humans. Ellen Ripley doesn't have anything like that. What does she have? She has her brains. She has apparently in the first movie, she gets the briefest of training in some military strategy and how to use a weapon. It's like she gets the crash course from some of those who are more experienced in that area. That's all that she has. Well, that's all that she has in terms of special training. The rest is a sheer determination to survive and to protect the others. That's good English. To protect those who are around her. Granted, in the first movie, that doesn't go very well because everyone else dies. In the second movie, apparently everyone except for four people die, including her. And that's not a dig at all about her. That is more of the incredible force that she is pitted against. One of the other things about Ellen Ripley that I think is very crucial to talk about is how she embodies and even works through some of her own trauma within the confines of this movie franchise. What I read online is that the secondary antagonist in the first Alien movie is an android. The main antagonist, you could say, is the xenomorph. And then you have this android that is a sleeper agent. I think I saw some refer to. This android is trying to get the alien life form back to Earth so that the company that they work for is able to turn them into bioweapons and make a ton of money off of them. It was Ellen Ripley's character that when one of the investigators of this other ship, excuse you, Odin, when Ellen Ripley wanted this other individual to be put into a quarantine stasis, the android said, nope, that's not going to be necessary. As the movie progresses, as the story moves on, this android tries to kill her because she is becoming aware of what's really going on. This is when she discovers this guy wasn't a human, it was in fact an android. And they figure out what it was doing, and it effectively says, yeah, I don't envy you guys and your chances of survival against this thing, before they power it off. In the second movie, she discovers that one of the other crew members, yet another science officer, the android in the first movie was the science officer, and now you have the science officer in the second movie is also an android. She is noticeably jaded toward this character because of the trauma that she's had in the past around androids, their programming, whether or not she can trust them. And it turns out that this was one of the androids that she could trust and is one of the last survivors at the end of the movie. Though I did read somewhere that maybe he had to sacrifice himself for them. I'm not entirely certain. Again, I haven't seen it. But she was put back into a situation where she would need to rely on and partner with someone, in this case something, that she didn't trust. She didn't know if she could trust this android because she had such a bad experience with the first one. That puts her in a very vulnerable place where she needs to figure out, can I trust this person? Am I being unnecessarily, or is my prejudice unwarranted against this being? And eventually, she is able to see that this android in the Aliens movie is not the same one as what was in the Alien movie. And she is able to partner with and work alongside this android in order to rescue as many people as possible. Especially for someone who had an experience where this kind of individual was what caused a lot of the trauma all of the trauma pretty much what she has to do in order to work through her bias and her prejudice in order to, again, she wants to survive. She wants as many people to survive as possible. That would mean putting aside these thoughts and these beliefs about androids in order to help guarantee the survival of as many people as possible. When I think of many movies, I don't really think of this storyline being thread through really any of them. Having to process trauma and get ourselves into a place where we are able to remove our trauma in order to see that someone is not fitting within the mold or the framework of what we are expecting them to be because of our histories. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have trauma in your past, that you just need to let it go and ignore any of the warning signs that you might be experiencing something similar with someone else. This was a fantastical situation. This was life and death. This was survival at its most basic form. And that means that the situation around what Ellen had to do was different from what most of us will have to do. Yet there is something to be said about individuals who are stepping into their own stories and not being a victim to them, but being a hero of them. We are going to have to do some difficult work in identifying and exposing our own prejudices and biases because of what's happened to us. Not everyone is going to fit in that mold. Absolutely trust your gut and be open to things maybe being different from what you are anticipating them being. And there we have it. I don't know if I did this justice. I don't know if I did this character the justice that she has deserved. And yet, for someone who does not like horror at all, and in terms of sci-fi, I used to enjoy a lot of Star Wars and off and on with Star Trek. I guess you could call some of the Marvel the same. I'm kind of out of a lot of those these days. One of the things that I know is that Ellen Ripley is a character, is a hero that people talk about. I knew very little about her character. In fact, when I was originally sharing this idea with Libby, I shared with her, "Oh yeah, the character's name is Ellen Ripley." She was like, "That's interesting. I only ever heard of her referred to as Ripley." And I'm like, "Yeah, same here. I knew of Ripley. I knew of the impact that she had with the people who enjoyed watching these alien movies. I knew that she was a powerful, heroic woman. And yet, I've never actually seen any of these movies because they are just outside of the genre that I enjoy, but I knew of her. That's pretty special in my book. And I hope that I did do the character of Ellen Ripley some justice here. I hope you have enjoyed this look at yet another hero in pop culture today. And guess we'll see who the hero is going to be next month. But until next time, live strong for today. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you like what you're hearing and you're interested in working with me, there is a link to my website in the show notes and also a link just to schedule a free 50-minute one-on-one call with me. Let's get the conversation started. Also, please rate and review this podcast so more people are able to find it. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again soon.